It is a Friday, and that means it's time to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Ben Fred Fridays is always brought to you by Henderson and Watercutty. Henderson and Watercutty, see what they offer at STL Criminal Defense. No matter how big or small the offense, they can help you 24/7. Just check out the website, easily navigated, stlcriminaldefense.com. Ben Fredrickson, we are here. We have baseball. It's opening night at Busch Stadium. Are you excited? Are you ready to go?
I am, Dan. Yeah, and it's certainly a moment to celebrate, man. I mean, we weren't quite sure it was going to get here. I think our fingers are crossed and are tentatively, you know, cautiously optimistic that it will keep going from here. But tonight is the moment to say, hey, man, you know, it's back. And a lot of people have waited a long time. A lot of people have worked really hard to make it happen. And it's going to be different. It's going to be weird at times, but it will be better than nothing. I really do think that.
I think it's a you know, total diversion, distraction for a sports fan, for a country, to take 2 hours out of your night. And most games will be played at night for television to maximize revenue and to enjoy. You know, for a family to get around your television and watch and not talk about COVID-19 and the coronavirus and social injustice. And not to say that we don't want to talk about those things and focus on those things. Those are very important aspects of our lives. But if you need a diversion for a couple hours, for 3 hours, hey, there's a ball game on. And that's what it's there for. It's entertainment, and it should be looked that way. And that's the way I'm going to approach this.
I think in some ways it's kind of a microcosm of where we are right now. Everybody, you know, as a family, as a business, as a corporation, we're all kind of trying to figure out how do we move forward. We're all having these conversations about, hey, what's the best path and what's safe and what's not. And we're also having conversations about, hey, you know, how can we learn from some of these things that have happened in the country? And we're going to see baseball kind of embody that. I mean, we're going to see, you know, a game start and all of a sudden Juan Soto isn't there. Where is he? Okay, well, he's out with the virus, and that's going to be part of the discussion here, unfortunately. We're going to see players, you know, do signs of unity before the game, whatever that looks like for them, and have those conversations about, you know, why that's happening. And so in some ways I think it can be everything. It can be a moment where there's a home running of, man, it's nice to watch this. There can be an avenue for a conversation about, hey, why is Mookie Betts down on a knee? Why is he doing that? And that can be part of the conversation. And then two, it's going to be part of the conversation about how we're dealing with and handling the virus. It can be a lot of things. And I think that's kind of the beauty of baseball. It always has been. You know, baseball has always been a game that is played and has been played at good, bad, and really stressful chapters of American history. And it's part of that history. So now it is back to being that. And it's going to be complicated at times, but it's also going to be baseball. Yeah. And you know, the history of baseball is that it finds a way to, you know, be there when we're struggling. And it doesn't mean that it has to be, you know, cupcakes and lollipops. It's just real. And that's kind of its part of its history too. So I think we're going to see that.
Yeah, very, very well put. It's, you know, I was thinking about this the other day when the Royals were in and Dozier was out. I mean, Dozier was supposed to be a big part of their lineup and had a really good season a season ago. And then Juan Soto, opening night for the world champions, is out. And yet, you know, it's a story and it's a big story, but yet the game goes on. And I'm kind of like, wow. You know, it catches your attention, but yet there was the first pitch by Max Scherzer and the game went on. And that is what is going to happen this year. And, you know, hopefully we don't see a lot of it, but we're going to see some of it. And it made me reflect on Rudy Gobert. You know, Rudy Gobert got the coronavirus and the league shut down because that's where we were with our country a few months ago. We just didn't know. And we've come so far, which seems like an eternity ago, Ben. And maybe I'm making more out of it than it is, but it just really caught my attention. And I always love getting your perspective on these things. So Rudy Gobert gets it, test positive, league shuts down, and rightfully so. That's what we were at that time. Well, here we are on opening night, world champions, one of the best young stars in the game. He gets it, and it's like, well, he got it. Okay, next man up, and we're playing baseball. It just really caught my attention, one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah, I mean, there's a plan in place, right? And now if the, you know, the Nationals take their next round of tests and they find out that seven guys have it, we might be talking about something different.
For sure.
But it's gotten to the point where there's not, one positive is not going to derail things. And the league said that coming back. They said, we're not going to be in a spot where one guy popping is going to eliminate the season for us. And if we were in that spot, we wouldn't be worth doing it because the risk of avoiding that is too low. I think one of the things that is okay to say, hey, this has been good, is the amount of new positives since everybody in the baseball world got to their respective locations. It was not great trying to get everybody to their baseball city. It caused some problems. Everything from the charter flight from the, you know, Dominican, which had guys who tested positive on it, to, you know, the fact that if you tried to organize what is, you know, 60 accountants from all over the country and put them in one city, there's going to be problems with that during this pandemic. But once they got people in the system, once they got them onboarded, the rate of new positive tests has been really surprisingly low. And they've done, it seems like they're doing a good job. Now the challenge is going to be, okay, what happens when they hit the road? That's going to be, I think, the next kind of hurdle here. But they did a good job. We had to see how will the numbers look when they get everybody, you know, onboarded, and they looked good. Now the question will be, okay, how can they protect the teams when they start to travel? Again, a lot of this is going to come down to guys being smart on the road and not taking unnecessary risks. And it seems to me like that just the players are bought in on realizing that, you know, they've just kind of internalized this as, hey, this is going to be a competitive disadvantage if we have a bunch of guys who can't play. And the teams that have the players available that they want are going to be able to field the teams that give them the best chance to win. So, you know, typical to pro athletes, they've kind of made it part of the competition, it seems like, and that seems to be helping. We'll see how it goes when they get out on the road.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
Yep, that'll be the big test and the travel and how it all can unfold. So the first couple of weeks will be fascinating, I think, around Major League Baseball, not inside the bubble, and we'll see how it unfolds. So let's talk about on the field. The roster was set for the Cardinals yesterday. For the most part, I think they're waiting on Gallegos. I would assume that's what you're kind of guessing as well, as they made their 30-man roster, and it was at 29 that was announced. Mm-hmm. So what did you think about the roster, and any surprises for you?
Well, the biggest kind of, I guess, curveball since, you know, spring training ended would have been the, you know, the decision with Carlos Martinez and Kim. I thought we've talked a lot about this, so we don't need to rehash it all, but they're making a kind of a somewhat interesting decision there. I get it, and I think it was made easier by the fact that they got Alex Reyes and Genesis Cabrera and Gallegos back in camp, and they expect to have these guys pitching soon. So that made it a little safer to say, okay, Carlos, you're in the rotation. Kim, you're going to be first shot at closer, even though you've never really done that before, in part because if there's friction there or trouble, they have the options they thought they were going to have to hand over that spot to closer. There's more of a deep pool of potential other options there. And I get it that Carlos has looked really, really good, and he's worked his tail off, and this is what they said that he needed to do, and they feel like they got to give him that shot, and it could work out beautifully. I mean, Kim certainly looked able to handle that closer role against the Royals, and he's going to face, you know, better teams than that, but, you know, his stuff looks good there, even though the role is very new. So it could work out great, but it's a little bit of an interesting move, just considering what Kim is used to and what his, you know, how routine oriented he is. He's talked about that. So there's a bit of a risk there, which I think is going to be very fascinating to watch. The other thing will be, of course, is the outfield. It's an Austin Dean tip of the cap for him to be on there in a 5-man outfield. We know Tyler O'Neill is going to get that first look in left field with Lane Thomas hungry for opportunity. But, the guy that we all saw at spring have a great spring and really proved at summer camp, I think, that he was more than capable of playing center field right now is Dylan Carlson. And it's about, 5-6 games before the Cardinals don't owe him a year's worth of service time. And then I think if there's struggles in that outfield that didn't produce very much last year offensively, then he's going to be here, and we could not be talking about who the new face in left field. We could be talking about the new outfield combination across the board. So that to me is going to, that's going to be the one to watch. And it will, I think, probably be very critical for the infield for the Matt Carpenters and Paul Goldschmidt's and Tommy Edmonds and Paul DeYoung's and Colton Wong's to help kind of carry this offense in the beginning as the outfield tries to sort itself out. Because if they're not hitting and the outfield isn't producing, then I think you're going to see some changes there pretty quick.
What I see with the Cardinals initially is their pitching depth, and that's what's going to separate them in the first couple of weeks. I don't know if you agree with that, but their depth of where, you know, if you have your starter go 4 or 5 innings, you could have a Gomber go 4 or 5 innings to follow, or a Ponce, and then get to your closer if you need him. But if you need him just to keep going, that's how you win a game. And that's where this offense can just, you know, number one, on the pitching side, like I just mentioned, that's where you can win. But on your offensive side, that's where they're going to beat up on the secondary pitching of other teams. And I think that's where they can separate themselves. I really do.
I mean, there are a lot of teams that have good rotations. There are a lot of teams that have set closers, but I don't really think there is a team out there that has as many talented pitchers and just the depth of that variety that the Cardinals can have. I mean, very few teams were in a spot where they had to make a very hard decision based off of picking their 5 starters. You know, very few teams have a pitcher like Austin Gomber, let alone Daniel Ponce de Leon, where they're trying to figure out a role for these guys. I mean, those guys are starting on probably what, 20 other teams at least.
Sure.
In the majors, and they're going to be looking for
especially
for bullpen
this year
roles.
Yeah,
totally. There's speed, there's velocity, there's a variety of hands. I mean, they got with Austin Gomber, I thought was the most impressive pitcher of summer camp. Tyler Webb was very good last year. I mean, look at what Gallegos did last year. He's one of the most reliable relievers in the National League now that he's back. They've got upside in, you know, Alex Reyes, who's still got a super talented arm. I know, you know, there have been a lot of setbacks. They've got certainty. They've got a little bit of everything. And I really I have you'd be hard pressed, I think, to find a team that feels as good about the stable of pitchers that it has. Now the question will be, how do you make the most out of it? This is not a season to be leaving innings out there. To be leaving guy, you know, saying, okay, we're going to put a guy in a role, a talented pitcher in a role where he's never used. That you got to try to weaponize this pitching staff, because it is your biggest strength, and the other one is defense, which gives that much more courage to the pitchers to go out there and compete. Because the defense, it looks good, man. It's going to be hard for them to play as good a defense as they did last year. But based off what we've seen in summer camp, they're ready to do that. that was kind of the least talked about story of this camp. I mean, you've had Colton Wong dropping jaws with plays, followed by Paul DeYoung. You just saw the way they can position and read their own hitters. And they were taking away hits left and right, and that's going to continue. So that will be similar to last year. Their pitching was going to be there. And if it's not, they're going to find the guys who can, and their defense is going to be superb. The question will be, the familiar one is, can they come up with enough runs to carry those strengths?
Yeah, I think Edmund would get the start at third, Carpenter at DH. Are you leaning that way too?
Totally. Yeah, I think that was my first kind of thought when the DH was announced as the rule. That there will be days that, you know, hey, it's Paul DeJong getting the spot, and he's not going to play in the field, and Edmund plays there. But I do think they're going to really use it to get Edmund in a lineup. And the one that makes the most sense, and the one I think we'll see the most often, is to improve the defense at third base and let Carp focus solely on his hitting. He's on board with that. He's talked about that. And he looks really good so far offensively. I mean, really good, like a different guy, like back to that old Matt Carpenter. So if that works and if they feel like that helps him and it improves the defense at third base, I think that makes the most sense for sure.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
I think there's more pressure on managers this year than ever before. It's 60 games, so essentially you start 0-0, like everybody is, 0-0, but yet you're in a pennant race, which I love. I think it's beautiful. So the pressure on Schulte is, and every manager is, how long you stick with a pitcher. But I kind of think Mike's a gambler too. I think it's one of the reasons why they've been really good in the second half under Mike Schilt, under his 2 years, is that, okay, there's no time to waste. It's pedal to the metal. I'm done messing around in the first half of like, okay, do I figure out if I can get this guy going? I maybe play him more than I should. I'm just trying to see what I got. Well, that's done. I'm hitting and running. I'm stealing bases. It's pedal to the metal. He's a gambler. I mean, to the point that in the minor leagues, they had to pull the reins on Mike Schilt to say, hey, Mike, we love that you want to win games. We get it. But we're trying to develop guys because we want to see him in certain situations. And it was no disrespect to Mike. They loved him, but they wanted to see guys in certain situations. And I mean that in all due respect to Mike. And it's a compliment. It's a backhanded compliment, but it's a compliment. So I think he's going to run wild if he gets a chance. And he's got some personnel to do it with Lane Thomas and Wong and Bader, Tommy Edman. I just think he's gonna go nuts. I do. I just think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
I think this season, it's basically two postseasons or two tournaments, if you want to look at it that way, especially now that they've expanded the playoffs.
Which I like.
I mean, this season's going to be so goofy. Why not? I don't like it in a 162 game season personally, but so I hope it doesn't stick around. I'm afraid it will. Because I think it kind of waters down the 162 game season. It does. Baseball doesn't have a postseason problem. It's got a regular season problem. But in a 60 game season, I got less of an issue with it because this year's going to be so goofy anyway. But you know, to your point about the managers, this I think is a season that awards urgency. It awards a manager who's willing to get weird, find ways to let the wackiness become a strength, and it's certainly I think going to reward proactiveness. This is to me the most interesting thing about this season, and no one's shying away from it. We know that the Cardinals have their ideal lineup in mind. We know they have their ideal starters in mind in terms of position players, and if it all works out and they start out winning 10 games in a row, then they're going to roll with that. If they feel like there can be upgrades in terms of increasing their competitiveness and their chance to win, how quickly he makes those decisions, how he handles that, the communication factor, all of these things are going to be really fascinating to watch. You know, when every game basically boils down to what, like something like 2.7 games.
Sure.
If you compare it to the 162 game season, all of a sudden a four game stretch without a hit for a starting position player, it looks a little bit different, especially if maybe the spin of the lineup could get a bat in there that might be able to do more damage. So how he balances patience, I think we'll see some from the beginning. But I don't know. I think everything will be expedited. And when he makes a change, I don't think he's going to to spend much time looking back after he does. So how he does this is going to be very interesting. We're talking about the reigning NL Manager of the Year here, a guy who's not afraid to make tough calls. But when does he feel like he can start mixing things up? I think is a really big question. We'll start to find that out tonight. And some of it's going to be dictated by what he sees and how he determines not just results, but what he sees when a guy's at the plate. That's going to be part of this. And you just got to say, hey, this guy's showing a knack for knowing this team. He's showing a knack for, you know, pulling the trigger when it's necessary. And I think Cardinals fans have to go, okay, you know, we're going to analyze every second, but this is going to be a huge factor for this team is how they decide who gets on the field and when. And Schilty's up for the challenge for sure.
A couple more, I'll let you go. What about the Cardinals' chances? What do you think about winning the Central Division this year, and who do you like?
They absolutely have a chance. I mean, I think any team but the Pirates does. I did pick the Reds. I picked the Reds because I think their lineup's just bonkers good and, potentially. And I like their starting rotation. Now, I don't know that it doesn't have the depth of pitching that we talked about with the Cardinals, but if there's a year to maybe, you know, get by with less, then it's probably in a 60-game season. I think that with the starting staff it has, and with their ability to, I think they're just going to hit a lot of home runs, especially in Cincinnati. I think they're going to be a high scoring team. Now, their defense is a question mark for me, but they're going to shift a lot, and they're going to try to hide that. They have the DH involved now, where they can hide certain players, whether that's Castellanos or Moustakas at times. So I think that plays into their favor. I think that makes them a better team. So that's why I picked the Reds. I think it'll be super close again. One thing to keep in mind, I've heard a lot of people say, well, the home field advantage is unfair. You know, the Cardinals have to play the Cubs on the road more, and that's not right. And I don't know about you, but home field advantage to me is not a big thing this year. Getting to bat last is nice. But without fans in the stands, just the oddity of all of this, I think that kind of that factor goes away. There's a lot of evidence that says home field advantage by the numbers is not as real as maybe we like to believe it is in baseball. The thing that jumps out to me, though, and I think this does matter, is that both the Cardinals and the Reds have an advantage of playing the Tigers and the Royals combined 10 times.
Right.
And I think that's a huge plus in a 60-game season in a division this close. They're going to have to take advantage of those, because those three games that the Brewers and the Cubs don't get against two 100-loss teams last year, those could be the difference.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
And finally, how emotional do you think this is going to be for Cardinal fans tonight to see an opening night and to see baseball finally come back, and just with everything each individual has been through, whether it's been more for some, less for others, whatever that may be for that individual, how emotional do you think it's going to be for a baseball fan tonight?
It's going to be powerful, man. And it's okay to have it mean a lot of different things and feel a lot of different emotions. But this is such a part of this place's, this city's, this fan base's identity, that having it back is going to be a powerful emotion and a powerful feeling. I'm sure you've experienced that, whether you're streaming the games online for the Cardinals or the exhibition game. I mean, there is that energy there, and there is a sense of, man, there's comfort there, and there's familiarity, and there's, it's really an experience that brings people back together. I mean, they're texting with their friends on the text there. Their families are talking about who's up and who's down. And there's, it's such a important thread of our community that having it back is going to be a powerful thing, man. And when we're going to get it to be, you know, some little small part of it. So you're going to be back in people's living rooms. I mean, so that's pretty cool. And that's, I think, what we have to remember, right, is we're there to we're there to capture this for folks in whatever roles that we have. And I never, ever take it lightly. I think about it every time I walk into the stadium of this is how many people care about this thing. And there's never a day where you show up to cover the Cardinals in any way, shape, or form, and there aren't people who care. And that's what we got to remember.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ben. We'll catch you up next Friday.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you
soon. Henderson and Water Cutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. A full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Water Cutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.